Well, what is up, Wisconsin and beyond? Welcome, if you are just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, and it is 3 p.m. That means it is time for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Today, we're talking about the rigged economy, one of those things that we talk about quite a lot in the 3 o'clock hour because it's quite rigged. What we're going to talk about today are capital gains taxes. You've heard from both myself and many guests that we should be taxing wealth just like we tax work. And one of those types of wealth that we're going to talk about today are capital gains. Here's why this is incredibly timely. Last week, Vice President Harris called for a substantial increase in the capital gains tax for anyone that already makes $1 million or more every year. But she declined to endorse and stand behind a proposal that the Biden administration has made to equalize cap gains and ordinary income tax rates for the richest Americans. Again, she's called to only raise the capital gains tax rate from 20% to 28%, not to equalize them for everybody that makes more than $1 million. My guests are Erica Payne, founder and director, president of the Patriotic Millionaires, and one of those millionaires we talk about, Morris Pearl. He used to work for BlackRock, the largest investment firm in the world. He is the chair of Patriotic Millionaires. Erica, Morris, welcome back to the show. Certainly happy to have you.
So happy to be here.
Great to be on, Maggie.
Let's start with the basics, Morris. What's the difference between capital gains and income, and why are there different tax rates?
Look, there's different ways of making money. Most people get a paycheck every week or every month, and there's tax deduct from that paycheck. Some people, those like me, who are already rich, don't have to work. Since we're already rich, we don't need to. I can just sit here and watch the numbers on my screen as the prices of the stock goes up. And then I see myself making money, and only if I sell some stock do I actually pay tax on the amount of profit I made on that particular stock. And even then, it's at a much lower rate. We have preferential capital gains rates. So my tax brackets that I pay are zero for up into low six figures, 15% on most of the money I make, and maybe 20% if I make more than a certain amount, much lower than what you pay on the paycheck that you earn.
So capital gains tax, just to be clear, is not like income tax, which if you work for a living, you get a paycheck, you are paying income tax, you cannot avoid it. That is, you know, the two things you can count on in life, death and taxes. Well, that's not actually true, right? It's death and taxes if you get a paycheck. Capital gains taxes, Morris, you're saying, again, only apply when you basically invest money and make a profit from that money and realize that gain. Morris, Erica, can either of you give us some idea why has there been this historical preferential treatment for capital gains? Why is that wealth increase not taxed just like work?
Now, do you want the cynical answer or the non-cynical answer?
Both, but start with the cynical one, Erica.
I mean, I'll start. Well, first of all, so capital gains rates and ordinary income tax rates have gone up and down throughout history. Sometimes they're more equal than other times. The question anytime you're trying to set a tax rate is, I should one kind of money be taxed differently than another? Are you going to affect something positively or negatively if you tax something in one way or another? So the way that the current tax system is set up, the people who design the tax system think that money should be taxed differently depending on how you make it. So it's a lot of tax on ordinary income, less tax on capital gains income, and basically no tax on inheritance income the way the current system is set up. We believe, as the Patriotic Millionaires, that these differences don't make a lot of sense, and that the reasoning behind the differences is really based on flawed logic. So as we go into the 2025 big battle we're going to have around taxes, so we've talked about this a few times on your show, Maggie, Trump and the Republicans put in a tax system in 2017 on a party line vote. I just want to remind everybody that in 2018, for the first time in American history, billionaires paid a lower effective tax rate than every single other group of people in the country. Well, a bunch of those tax provisions are going to expire in 2025. So whoever's in charge is going to be in charge of deciding what to do with these taxes. And the people in charge can either decide to keep the differential between all the different kinds of money, so we can keep on saying that in America, the home of the free, land of the brave, we think it is most important that people who inherit income don't pay any taxes, that we think that capital, you know, people investing their money, that they should pay lower taxes than people who work. The patriotic millionaires think that at a certain point, money is money is money is money is money is money is money. And so when you make more than $1 million a year, we don't think anybody needs to get any preferential anything for anybody. And so if we want to set the top marginal income tax rate at 39.6%, which would revert it to the numbers it was pre-Trump, we think all money they pay over $1 million should be taxed exactly the same, regardless of how you make it. Matt, yep, I'll give you just a simple dollar figure. Some of the targets, we have a 10-minute PowerPoint presentation on taxtherich.com. It'll tell you everything you need to know about America's tax system. 15 minutes, it's fun, engaging. I would love for people to go watch it. On that, we compare two couples, the Workharts and the Slumps, and what happens to their tax bill as they go through life making the same amount of money in different ways. So the Workharts go to work, work hard. They work 50 weeks a year, 40 hours a week. They bring home $100,000. They'll pay about $9,000 in federal taxes on that $100,000. If a billionaire is sitting in his beach property, drinking a Mai Tai, and clicks a button on an E-Trade account, selling some stock, and he makes $100,000. Maggie, guess how much money that billionaire will pay on that $100,000 of income that he made?
I'm going to say nothing unless he sells it.
Well, no, so he sold it. So he made his $100,000. On that first $100,000, he is going to pay $0. So here's a couple working all year, every day. They end the year $9,000 poorer than the rich person who clicks a button on an E-Trade account. So we think that that's just crazy, you know? But the people who wrote the tax bill, and more importantly, the people who give money to the people who wrote the tax bill when they run for campaigns, those rich people who largely make their money off of capital gains felt very, very, very strongly that their money was more important than your sweat, Maggie. And so they want a tax break for their money. And they say that you got to have this tax break for capital investment or everybody's going to stop investing and the whole world's going to collapse.
Yeah, that's the interesting part to me, Erica. One thing, you know, we haven't seen many CEOs come out explicitly in favor of the Trump tax cuts or this sort of a tax system. In fact, they have been notably silent, some of them actually opposing it. Now, you do have some billionaires that have voiced support for candidates, which I think is really fascinating. And to me, it tips a hat to this idea about investment and building businesses and continuing to spur economic growth. What's going on here, Morris? I mean, again, the traditional argument we hear is, oh my gosh, if you raise taxes on rich people and corporations, business will come to some sort of screeching halt and people will stop investing. Is that true?
Well, no. If you think about economics, it's a totality that the total amount of savings is equal to the total amount of investment. I have, you know, millions of dollars my family and I have saved up over the years. And unless I like take it in cash and like move to Mars or something, it exists. It will exist regardless of whether you change the tax laws or not. And I could invest in the stock market or I could invest in something else. I could put in the bank and the bank can then use the money to make loans to people. But that money will exist someplace, somewhere. And it's not like I can like go on strike and say, oh, I'm not going to be a millionaire anymore until you change my tax rates. It's like there's nothing I can do about it. So I mean, it's like complete hogwash.
It's like, where did this, if I can ask Morris, this has been part of sort of conservative dogma. I would also even argue you've kind of gotten this whiff of things for a while from some economists. And the argument, as I understood it, always went something like this. Well, all else being equal, if you tax money more, there's less of incentive to earn it. To which I always responded, huh? Like, people, if the line of logic is people are in a wealth building mindset, if we're profit maximizing, unless the tax rate was 100% on your first dollar, it doesn't make any sense to me. Again, I don't understand the incentive argument. Is that basically what we're talking about here? That people will participate in the economy because that's how you make money.
I agree. I mean, I've met some of those people walking around your studio in Chicago a couple weeks ago. It's ridiculous because plenty of people I know who are billionaires, they were highly incentivized to earn their first billion. They don't need special incentive to not pay taxes on their second billion. And it's like, even if they're not incentivized at all, unless their tax rate is 100%, they'd rather get part of a profit and give part to the government to make no profit at all.
Yeah.
Well, and Maggie, this is one of the things, I mean, this is a mythology that is so sticky in the American psyche and in the psyche of our candidates. And I mean, you know, God bless them and the psyches of all of these investors who are absolutely certain they need that incentive. I guess the main thing that we would like to ask them is, if you believe that you need a lower tax rate in order to invest, and say that we raised your tax rate, what are you going to do with your money? What are they going to do with their money? And is they don't have a lot of options. They can leave it in a savings account and make like point something nothing, you know, or they can invest it and make something. And so the choice is to not invest it and make nothing, or to invest it and make something. And, you know, more
they're going to go make something. They're going to go make something. My special guest this half hour for Maggie Talking Money with the Millionaires are Morris Pearl and Erica Payne. Keep it locked. We're going to dig in more after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Our economy's on fire.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back, or welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined this half hour for today's 3 p.m. edition of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money are Erica Payne, an economic justice advocate and the founder and president of Patriotic Millionaires. She's a pretty smart lady, got an MBA from the Wharton School at UPenn. And Morris Pearl, a former managing director at BlackRock, the largest investment firm in the world, and the chair of the Patriotic Millionaires. Morris, why do the Patriotic Millionaires want the capital gains rate and the income tax rate to be equalized for people that make more than $1 million a year?
Because part of the reason why we have such inequality in our country, part of the reason why we have a few people getting richer and richer and richer, while so many millions are struggling to get by, is that those of us who are already rich pay lower tax rates than people who are working for a living. And honestly, this won't even solve the problem, but it would make a dent if people pay the same tax rates on money they got from their investments that other people pay from their working. But somehow the rich people have convinced the politicians that, oh, we need to appease rich people. We can't like upset them or anything, or they'll, I don't know what.
I mean, this is a huge problem. I mean, let's as we sit here today, the United States is more unequal than it has been in 100 years. And we have set tax code that guarantees we are going to become more unequal more quickly over time. Our country is about to fall apart with income inequality and economic inequality at the levels it is now. Let's go on and wait a few more years and make it worse and see how bad this is. We're basically playing a game of economic Jenga where we're pulling off of the bottom, pulling off of the middle, loading it on the top. And the societal cost of this is really obvious when you look around and see that some people are flying off into space in their rocket ships and some people can barely live, you know, can't even live in their cars because they don't own a car. And so a society this unequal cannot stand. Mathematically, if every dollar that Morris makes is worth more, valued more, ends up in more revenue into his pocket than every dollar that somebody else makes working, then mathematically we can't go direction other than more unequal more quickly over time. And we're going to have an even bigger problem than we have right now. So what we're trying to eliminate is one of the key drivers of inequality in this country. Why? Is there a good reason for Morris's money to be worth someone else's sweat? There isn't. There's not an investment reason for it. As we talked about in the last segment, what are people going to do? They're going to invest regardless of the tax rate. Again, most people make investment decisions because they want to make big, big money, not because they want to shave a few points on a tax rate. That's number one. The second justification that investors give is that they're taking a lot of risk. They're saying, well, I'm risking my money. I'm risking my money by making this investment. First of all, if you're making more than $1 million a year, I don't think you're risking all that much. So let's say that you're only doing income over $1 million. But the other thing is there are lots of ordinary jobs that have a huge amount of risk involved in them. Look at a firefighter. A firefighter risks his life or her life every single time they walk into a burning building. Fire people, depending on where they make it, may make up to $100,000 a year. You really think that somebody who runs into a burning building should pay higher taxes than somebody sitting on a leather armchair behind their desk on Wall Street and, again, clicking a button on an E-Trade account? There are risks, and the risks of the investor do not supersede the risk of somebody walking into a flaming building. So why on earth are they getting a preferential tax rate? So when you examine it, the evidence falls away, the investment case, the risk case. I'll tell you something else. American University just came out with a new report saying that if we raise the capital gains rate, we would increase the amount of revenues coming into the United States and GDP would actually go up.
We have historical precedent for this, right? And I would even say, just on your risk point, Erica, I couldn't agree with you more. And this, when you are rich enough, i.e. making already $1 million a year, and we're talking about taxing your investment returns, right, your capital gains, I don't know that the, quote, risk that you're taking is as real as the risk that accrues to the vast majority of regular Americans who are at-will employees whose entire family's economic health hinges on whether or not they get to keep a job on a day-over-day basis. I don't know a lot of people with job protections anymore. They can walk into work and get fired the next day. That isn't monopoly money to them. That is the money that their families need to live on. I would say if there's a preference to be given, if we're going to pick winners and bigger winners, that the biggest winners should be those that take that economic risk, are in at-will employment situations that need that money to support their families, not over-rewarding investment risk that is a calculated risk taken by people that can afford to invest their money. Now, you mentioned, Erica, that when we tax rich folks more, when we equalize or try to raise capital gains taxes, that our GDP actually goes up. We have some historical precedent for this, don't we?
You want to talk about people who take risks with their income? How about the woman who handed me eggplant parm hero for lunch today at a deli?
Yeah.
She has a lot more uncertainty in her income than I do, I assure you.
Well, and investors, if they lose money, they can write it off from gains that they made before. So there are lots of ways for wealthy people to balance their so-called risk. I would just assert the premise that it ain't all that risky in the first place. And while they might be spending their money, working people are spending their time and their sweat and their energy. So everybody's got what they've got on the line. and people who are spending their time, sweat, and energy are being taxed at almost twice the tax rate that people who are making money off of their money are making. It's a driver of inequality. There is no rational justification for it. And we're, you know, we think that unfortunately some folks have gotten to Vice President Harris on her economic team. And so she has walked back Biden's proposal to equalize incomes. Now she's still asking for a pretty hefty raise, which we think is quite important, but she doesn't get as far as we want her to get. And so we would just love to see people really encourage that. I also want to tell you, you know, in terms of these investment folks just making up stuff. So there's a little loophole that has to do with this. So people who manage other people's money even get to pay that smaller preferential tax rate. It's this little loophole called the carried interest loophole. And your senator in Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, has been an absolutely fantastic advocate on getting rid of that preference for folks who manage other people's money. So there's some preference, you know, you've got a leader in the Senate. We're seeing a good leadership from Vice President Harris. We want to see her lean into it even more and go all the way to equalizing it. Now,
equalizing capital gains tax rates with income tax rates, because work is just as valuable. The dollars produced from work is just as valuable as a dollar produced from doing nothing and investing it. Folks, you can find out more about this at taxtherich.com. Check it out, because it's always and ever about the money, money, money. Thanks to Erica Payne, founder of the Patriotic Millionaires, as well as Morris Pearl, the chair of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back in just a moment after your farm update with the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Probably wouldn't be here if it weren't for the American worker.
What the trouble is, Donald Trump and things like, you know, the capital gains tax rate not being equal to the income tax rate. It doesn't make any gosh darn sense. I'm Maggie Dawn. Welcome back, or welcome if you're just joining us. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined by Brian Kelly. We're taking your calls and comments this last half hour of our show. You're going to have the Dominic Salvia Show coming up after me at the top of the hour. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Brian, I don't know about you, but like when I listen to Erica and Morris and a lot of these other guests talk about these differentials in the tax rates, I can't help but think of the litany of Republicans that have railed against handouts, right? And bootstraps and all of this stuff. You know, when you have a tax rate that is lower than the way the capital gains or whatever we're talking about, right? Or corporate tax rates that are lower than what we as working Americans pay, that is a version of a handout, because that is money that the government is not collecting. It's like, it's as if we collected it and gave it right back to these people, right? That is a handout. Not collecting tax is a handout. And they are, meaning the government, Trump and Republicans, are picking winners and losers. They just don't want people to understand that the winners that they're picking are billionaires and corporations and rich people that have more than $1 million to get to invest to earn.
Maggie, there's a little bit more insidious thing here too, because people are being told what an American is, some rugged person who works on his own and does the hard work and takes the shirt off and chops the wood and does all the things that need to be doing to be an American. He doesn't need a lift up. He just needs, you know, just to feel important. And that's the story. Work harder. And that's the story that they're telling, because you have to tell a story when you don't actually have concrete reasons why you should give all these people money. That's what it is.
It's a government giveaway to rich people. There is absolutely no reason why the capital gains tax shouldn't be north of 40%. No, it will not kill investment. No, it will not kill small businesses. And I mentioned this, and we didn't have a chance to get to it with Erica and Morris because that time goes so fast. But consider this. At the end of 1986, we took the top capital gains tax rate to 28% from 20%. Okay, this is back in the 80s, late 80s. By 1987, the market roared up 40%. So we raised capital gains taxes 8% in 86, and the market went up 40% in 87. So no, that's garbage. How about this more recent example? In 2013, we increased the capital gains tax to 23.8%. That's where it is now, up from 15%. Again, about an 8% raise, not dissimilar to that 1986 increase to the capital gains tax rate. Okay, from 15 to 23, nearly 24%. The S&P climbed 30%. It was the best year following that tax increase in 2014 for stocks over 20 years, basically since that period of time in the 80s. I mean, empirically, the nonsense that they're spewing just doesn't track. It's not true. And again, when we talk about who owns investments in this country, the top 1% of Americans owns half of the value of all stocks in this country. So, yeah, we're not talking about mom and pop investors in your 401k. Nope. You're talking about the top 1%. And again, we're talking about raising capital gains tax rates on people that earn over a million. So you're not if you earn less than a million, this isn't you, right? I just don't get it.
Maggie,
I do not understand it.
Maggie, it's like your older brother who has played Monopoly for years is the banker and trying to give you advice on how to go and trade with him for more of the properties. And if you just get Broadway, that's the best property. So here, you just take Broadway and I'll take your four monopolies over there. And that's a really good trade for you, right? And I'm the banker too.
I'm not sure I totally follow the analogy, but I appreciate
it's someone
the
trying
effort.
To take advantage of the rules and trying to make things
yes.
seem like it isn't what it is. And they're trying to demonize people like it's if you give other people money, you're taking it away from somebody else too. They're not just telling you that it's, you know, we're giving it for the billionaires to go and help them. They're also telling you they're taking it away from the bad people and giving it to the good people. That's part of the story they're telling.
Yeah. So we just got a text in, two of them, from someone in the 414 that says Republicans believe in hard work and earning your money, not sitting on the couch and getting and getting and getting. No, they don't, because they don't tax people who sit on the couch and just reap in investment returns. They don't tax those people as much as people who actually work. Republicans are the ones that want rich people who sit on the couch and do nothing but let the money roll in. They want those people taxed less than you, the texter from the 414, than Brian or me, who go to work every day. It is completely the opposite of what they say, right? Like, that is the fundamental bottom line. If you believe that people should work for a living and be treated fairly, then you believe in higher capital gains taxes. You believe in banning stock buybacks. You believe in higher corporate tax rates. That is what values work over sitting on the couch and doing nothing. What's your opinion out there? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Call a texter from the 414. You want to call and talk about this? Let's do it. Please keep listening, because this is the whole shooting match. And speaking of one of the things that actual working people struggle with all of the time, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance walking right into the sludge yet again, screwing up massively. I don't know how they're not prepared to answer these questions. Both J.D. Vance and Donald Trump last week were asked about the skyrocketing costs of childcare, which let's noodle through this together, Brian. Hey, we're married and we both want to work. It means that our kids have to go to a place where they're cared for, and then we have to pay for that, and it's really expensive. Now, I'm going to start with Trump's rambling, totally incoherent answer. He was speaking to the New York City Economic Forum on Friday. The last question of the forum was about childcare. How do people pay for it? What are your proposals? Is the question included in the clip, Brian, or is it just Trump? Question is in the clip, because I think the setup, the question here, really expertly asked, and she's asking for specifics, and listen to the total nonsense that comes out of Trump's mouth.
Take a listen.
If you win in November, can you commit to prioritizing legislation to make childcare affordable? And if so, what specific piece of legislation will you advance?
Well, I would do that, and we're sitting down. You know, I was somebody. We had Senator Marco Rubio, and my daughter Ivanka was so impactful on that issue. It's a very important issue. But I think when you talk about the kind of numbers that I'm talking about, that because, look, child care. It's couldn't, you know, there's something, you have to have it. In this country, you have to have it. But when you talk about those numbers compared to the kind of numbers that I'm talking about by taxing foreign nations at levels that they're not used to, but they'll get used to it very quickly. And it's not going to stop them from doing business with us, but they'll have a very substantial tax when they send product into our country.
What? I mean, and it goes on. He continues to say those numbers are so much bigger than any numbers we were talking about, including childcare. He's talking about his tariffs. Somehow tariffs, which every economist that is objective will tell you is simply a sales tax on consumers. Again, consumers are the middle class. Billionaires are not the consumer class. That is the middle class. That tariffs equal sales tax on middle-class people. How is taxing middle-class people more going to help them pay for childcare? It doesn't make any sense. Also, this line, Brian, childcare is childcare. Thank you, Albert Einstein.
I mean we need, not since I said things are important. I covered for you one day, and I said the term things are important. Not since that have I heard anything more brilliant than what I said.
That's Donald Trump. Things are important. Child care is child care. It's something you got to have it. She asked him for a specific proposal. There is no answer because Donald Trump doesn't care about the middle class. This is a perfect exemplar, in my opinion, of this claptrap generalities that get trotted out by Republicans. What actually are you going to do so that people can work? The thing that you care about so deeply that Americans work? Yep, they're trying to, but childcare is killing the middle class, childcare expenses. It's just ridiculous. I have to say with childcare, I want to stay with childcare, but those numbers are small relative to the economic numbers that I'm talking about.
What numbers are you talking about specifically?
No one knows.
What you just said the numbers I'm talking about. What numbers are you talking about? What specifically are you talking about? Can you say literally anything that means anything at all? And by the way, this isn't something new. This isn't a new Republican thing, by the way. It's been since before Obama, they haven't said anything actual or even relatively true. They haven't said anything of substance. They've been going for the politics of spite to win. Why? What advance? What magical? They've lost it. They don't even know why they want to win anymore, because when you ask them, what will you do when they win, they can't give you a straight answer.
No, because there's no plan for childcare, right? And by the way, Here's what Trump ended his comments with. This is before the Economic Forum of New York on Friday. He said, we're going to be taking in trillions of dollars. If he's talking about the tariffs, he means taking trillions of dollars from you in additional sales taxes. We're going to be taking in trillions of dollars. And as much as childcare is talked about as being expensive, it's relatively speaking, not very expensive. You think Donald Trump has ever had to actually pay for or find childcare? I do not think so. I do not think so. We need to take a listen also. We'll do it when we come back, I think, Brian, because J.D. Vance also weighed in on childcare and also gave some non-answer baloney, out-of-touch garbage that speaks nothing to the actual problem of working-class families in the state of Wisconsin and how they afford childcare. Why does capital gains tax matter to you? Because instead of having programs that help fund affordable childcare, the Trump administration and Republicans want to give capital gains tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires. That is why the capital gains tax rate matters to you. We're going to listen to J.D. Vance. We're going to take your calls and texts when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. All of that and so much more coming up next here on The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. That other voice is Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Calls and text lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
Many things said that nobody knew about and said in a very strong way.
They want to get going, and they're going to get going, and we have a lot of these things happening.
Nothing as in no policies, no specifics, nothing. Not a Zippo Zilch. I'm going to play you, as I promised, the J.D. Vance sound talking about child care. But before we get to J.D. Vance, here's this other Republican, a woman no less, a former candidate for president, talking about childcare, but again, saying absolutely nothing. And keep in mind, talking about picking winners and losers, okay? When you talk about a tax credit, meaning you're going to get money back from the government, you're going to reduce your tax burden, okay? A tax credit is just like a tax cut. They're exactly the same. A tax credit is just like a tax cut, is just like Republicans keeping capital gains taxes at artificially low levels. They're all economically identical. So when you think about winners and losers and picking winners and losers, when Republicans argue to keep cap gains tax really low for people that make over $1 million a year, they're picking those people as winners and saying to the middle class and those that have to buy childcare, you're the losers. And listen to what Nikki Haley has to say about this. I'm not quite sure it tracks. Brian, this is Nikki Haley yesterday with Margaret Brennan on CBS's Face the Nation. This is the Let's Talk About Policy and Picking Winners and Losers cut. Let's take a listen.
That's where I go back and I look at the differences. I mean, these are the candidates we have been given. You know, you look at Kamala Harris, and it's quite remarkable. She never had a debate. She never had a primary. She never had anyone vote for her. And they basically took her, and in 48 hours, they put her back out there, and she was this whole new candidate. But the reality is, she has a record. Mm-hmm. The administration has a record. Trump has a record. And so neither are perfect. Neither are ideal.
So let's talk about the policies then. one of the things that we know is hurting American families is the high cost of child care. The Federal Reserve said parents typically spend 50% to 70% as much per month on child care as they do on their housing payment, which is usually the largest monthly expense. Yet yesterday, Donald Trump said,
as much as child care is talked about as being expensive, it's relatively speaking not very expensive.
That sounds out of touch with the economic statistics.
I mean, child care is very expensive. I know just even at the time that I had little kids, I worked just to pay for our child care.
So what part of his policy do you like on that? Because you said on your policies that's what made you back in.
It is. And what I liked were the tax cuts that he had that Kamala wants to remove. You know, when
she wants to also expand the child tax credit.
But that's the problem. When you get into child tax credits, you're picking winners and losers.
There it is. By the way, Kamala Harris does not want to raise your taxes unless you make more than $400,000 a year. Kamala Harris doesn't want to raise your capital gains taxes unless you make more than $1 million a year. So who are the winners and losers she's talking about? She's talking about Republicans' continued preference to deem billionaires and millionaires the winners and all of us working folks the losers. And if you were worried about the fact that they're out of touch, let's just listen to J.D. Vance's insightful answer to how do we solve the expensive childcare problem, also just last week.
What can we do about lowering the cost of daycare? Hayden, obviously a working family, and it's very hard for working families to get by. How will we lower the cost of daycare?
You know, such an important question, Charlie. And I think one of the things that we can do is make it easier for family models to choose or for families to choose whatever model they want, right? So one of the ways that you might be able to relieve a little bit of pressure on people who are paying so much for daycare is make it so that you know, maybe like grandma or grandpa wants to help out a little bit more. Or maybe there's an aunt or uncle that wants to help out a little bit more. If that happens, you relieve some of the pressure on all the resources that we're spending in daycare. Now, you talk about just daycare. Let's say you don't have somebody who can provide that extra set of hands. What we've got to do is actually empower people to get trained in the skills that they need for the 21st century. We've got a lot of people who love kids, who would love to take care of kids, but they can't either because they don't have access to the education that they need, or maybe more importantly, because the state government says you're not allowed to take care of children unless you have some ridiculous certification that has nothing to do with taking care of kids. So empower people to get the skills they need. Don't force every early child care specialist to go and get a 6-year college degree where they've got a whole lot of debt and Americans are much poorer because they're paying out the wazoo for daycare. Empower working families, empower people who want to do these things for a living, and that's what we got to do.
Just have grandma and grandpa do it like JD did for free. Oh, and if that doesn't work, well, you know, people need to get educated, but let's not do anything about the student debt problem or consumer credit problem. Let's not do anything like that. And when all else fails, blame regulations that are in place to make sure that your child isn't abused when they're in the child care that you can't afford to pay for, that JD Vance just says, just you don't have grandma, grandpa do it.
What?
Or your aunts and uncles.
Thank God. I mean, I would never have thought of asking any of my family members to do that. Oh, my goodness. Thank God this brilliant person who's Harvard freaking educated came in to tell me that I should go and maybe think about taking my, maybe the kid's grandpa wants to. Oh, shut up. Just a stupid thing to say.
It's Yale, and it's still stupid.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got it wrong. I'll actually admit that I got something wrong on the air.
Well, you got one up on JD then. Dick from Madison, what are your thoughts this afternoon?
Oh, my God. You know, usually when I get a word salad like that, you at least get a little dressing with it so you don't have to choke it down, you know, dry. What? Neither one of them said anything. You know, I started a name call with, like Trump likes to. I started calling him Deadbeat Donald several weeks ago when you find out all the states he owes money, ours as well. Shouldn't even let him in, Mosney. He owes the state money. Get out unless you pay up. And the other thing I'm going to say about him is he's candidate Oblio. Remember Oblio? He was pointless. Pointless.
Yep. Yep, I agree with you, Dick. It almost defies any explanation. Indeed, it does defy any explanation because it doesn't make any sense. And by the way, they do have some policies written down. It's just that scary Project 2025. We're going to have a real special guest here on the Maggie Dawn Show on Thursday from 2 to 3 talking all about Project 2025. You're not going to want to miss it. That's going to do it for me today. Wow, did that 2 hours fly by. You got the Dominic Salvia Show coming up next. He might be making a little special guest appearance on the Maggie Dawn Show tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. And as I always say, I'll stand up for you, you know, for things like affordable tax, affordable childcare, and tax rates where rich people actually pay their fair share. I hope you stand up for me because it's always better when we stand together. That'll do it for me on this Monday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks to you, Brian Kelly, my producer. Stay tuned, folks. Dominic's up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You got nothing.